Well, let's see. Where should we start tonight? Ephesians. We'll go ahead and start in the book of Ephesians then. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. You can put a marker in Philippians chapter 2. And you can also put one in John 14. It's amazing how the Lord weaves all things together. His timing for things. A few years ago, I have taught on this subject before. We're going to talk tonight about the power of attorney we've been given in Jesus' name. And I've taught on that before in years past. But the difference is, in years past, I myself had never been power of attorney. And now I am. I have been for a while power of attorney for my earthly father, O.R. Carpenter. So I've got some insights from that I've never had before. And then before this night is over, your faith to use the name is going to go up about 1,000-fold. Okay? We've been hoodwinked by religion. I'll just tell you now, was it when Dave teaches about Chuck the Duck? You know, and his whole life he was raised on chicken food. But really he was a duck the whole time. Listen, we are spiritual offspring of the living God. We were born to fly. But religion has fed us chicken food our whole life. I'm about ready for some duck food. How about you? Amen? Let's get it straight from the mouth of Jesus tonight. He's gonna feed us well. You're gonna dine well at the Master's table tonight. Okay? Now I want to read this. This is Paul's prayer. Actually, I said 2. It's going to be in chapter 1 of Ephesians. I want to read this prayer again. I want you specifically to notice about the name, when we get to the name. So, we'll start here in verse 16 of chapter 1. Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and notice, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Can't tell you how many times over the years I've read that passage, loved it, finished the book, put it away. Life wasn't changed, power wasn't changed. Partly because I don't have any trouble understanding that part. I mean, what I mean is I don't have a problem seeing Jesus seated there. I don't think you do either. Highly exalted. Every name. Name that is above every name. See, because way down in there, part of us goes, yeah, well, he deserves it. He deserves it, doesn't he? I mean, he that was innocent, he didn't have any sin at all. And he took our place and suffered terribly, that not only the agony on the cross, but I can't imagine the horrors he went through 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I can't imagine what those demons did down there. Can't imagine. And it seems perfectly right and fitting and honest and just for God to highly exalt him. So while we're right there, just going over Philippians 2, we'll look at it the same thing in a... just said slightly differently, starting in verse 5. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Now notice the word things here is in italics. I think it does mean things, but it also means beings. I mean every being, can I say it this way, every demon? Well, what about let's consider the demons for a moment. They're like a mechanic. And cancer is a wrench. If we have authority, if that name is over the demon, when he bows, isn't his wrench going to bow also? So it's both. It's not only things, it's beings and things. It's everything. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now it's the obedience of the cross. I hope we get back to that. If the Holy Spirit reminds me, we will. All right. Now, back to Ephesians for a moment. See, even there in Philippians and Ephesians, Jesus deserves that. I mean, I don't have a problem seeing that. See, I'm going to need a volunteer. There's someone who represents Jesus. Who would be Bernard? Would you come here for a minute? Now I need someone, a vile, ugly sinner. Mike McKeever, would you? Now, I've told you all about this vision a long time ago that I had, where when Jesus was on the cross and when he died, the Lord showed me that it really Jesus, when he died, he didn't die as Jesus, he died as Adam. So as far as the courtroom of heaven was concerned, when Christ died, the whole species of Adam died in him. And that means all of them, past, present, future. Even though I wouldn't be born for almost 2,000 years later, I died there also. So picture it like this. Everybody's dead. Jesus, dead. Mike is dead. Jesus, he was innocent. He was innocent, yet he died for us. Mike, he wasn't so innocent. Mike died also, you know, but because I identify with Mike. Sue and I, trust me, we have no problem knowing we were sinners. Well, we were such sinners that when we got married, we said to each other, and we weren't even saved yet, we said, you know that old, they used to, some preachers would preach, if you don't confess every single sin that you ever committed, you can't be saved. We were 33. We had so many years of sin and we couldn't possibly remember all that anyway. But so just when we got married, we said, look, let's just take this attitude. I'll just assume you've done everything. You assume I did everything. Later on in our married life, when we find out stuff, we won't be surprised. And that worked out pretty well for us. In other words, we identify with Mike. We don't identify with Jesus. See? Well, after 3 days... Now, in my vision, though, I saw the whole human race. I saw the whole earth. It was like coming out like a helicopter shot from the earth and like going up into space. You know, I mean, the whole earth, there was not a living person on earth. The species of Adam, past, present, and future, was dead. And see, Jesus so identified with us. He himself was dead also. He was laid in the grave. You got that? Well, if Adam is dead, now God is free. That dominion that was first given to Adam, God couldn't take it back because God does not alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. But if Adam is truly dead, God is free to assign that dominion to a new Adam. Trouble is, there's nobody living. So he says, now who would be a good candidate? Oh, here's my son. He has fully paid the price. I haven't spoken yet. He has fully paid the price. The halls of justice, everything has been satisfied. And it says in Hebrews, again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten thee." Hallelujah! 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 And then it says He not only quickened him, He raised him up and set him down. This is the highest place of authority right here. To the right hand of God, He is seated in the highest place of authority. And we don't have a problem with that. We don't have a problem with that, do we? But He's there. And I live down here. Now the problem is, we all identify with Mike. See, part of us goes, "Well, yeah, Jesus is there. And really, He deserves it. I can see why God would do that. He's the one that was obedient." But see, in chapter 2 it tells you, even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, because of His great love for us, He quickened us together with Him. But that wasn't enough. See, so we kind of see ourselves running around here, running around on earth. We're quickened and we're forgiven, but we don't have any power. We're quickened, but we don't have... That's how we see ourselves. But that's not what it says. He quickened us, and He raised us up together with Christ. And He seated us in that same place of authority in Christ. That's the part we have trouble with. Because we know we don't deserve it. That's called grace. Unmerited favor. We are seated in that same place of authority. Now here's the difference. Jesus physically is seated in heaven. We physically are still on the earth. But we have been sent in the name of Jesus. And when we flow here, when we operate here in His name, it carries the same weight as if Jesus Himself was here doing it. That's what it means to have the power of attorney. In My name, cast out devils. In My name, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In My name, go and make disciples of all nations. In My name, whatever you ask in My name, I will do it. He authorizes it, and the Holy Spirit performs it. Thank you. Give Jesus a hand. But see, that's why we have trouble with that. We don't see that because part of us goes, "Well, yeah, He deserves it." Well, grace is what you get from God when you don't deserve it. We have to believe it. That's called faith. You either believe it or you're calling God a liar. We're not going to do that. But yet by our actions, we do. So God gave us apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. And I'm here tonight to help with that. A minister quite a few years ago was ministering on the name of Jesus, teaching, in the congregation was an attorney, a lawyer. And he says, he just kind of interrupted in the teaching. He says, "Sir, do you mean to say that Jesus gave us the power of attorney, the legal right to use His name?" This minister said to him, says, "Well, brother, you're a lawyer and I'm a layman. You tell me, did Jesus give us the power of attorney?" And the lawyer said, "Well, if language means anything, then Jesus gave to the church the power of attorney." So then the pastor, this minister, asked the lawyer, said, "Well, what is the value of this power of attorney?" Well, he answered, "It depends on how much there is back of it, how much authority, and how much power this name represents." Now see, recently, we moved my mom and dad to town, and I have, at their request, I have been made power of attorney for both of them. I thought I knew what that meant. You know, we say power of attorney. I'd never really seen, this is Oklahoma's version of a power of attorney. It's 6 pages long, laying out what authority I have in the name of O.R. Carpenter. I'm just going to share some of it with you. Because it's as I understand my power of attorney to act in my earthly father's name, it's helping me understand the authority to have to operate in Jesus' name. And so you'll know that he gave us the authority. Going over to John 14, just for a moment. And it comes right after our famous verse, the one that we're contending for. If we had one verse in the New Testament that we could hold on to for assignment for this church, it's John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now watch. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he repeats himself, which he seldom does. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, he said the same works that he did. He is authorizing us now to go in his name and do exactly those same works. Now see, up until now, my father, whenever he wanted to buy or sell property or maybe buy bonds or do anything like that, he would just go do it himself. Okay? But now he's at the age where it's difficult for him to get around. He had to find someone he could trust. He trusts me. And so he says, son, I'm going to make you my power of attorney. It's a great responsibility. All right? But let me just read you. I'm not going to read you this whole thing. But I want to give you the flavor of what a power of attorney is in case some of you have never heard of one. Now, this one is a what you'd call primarily a financial power of attorney. But it also includes medical. It's medicals back here, too. He says, my attorney, it's called an attorney in fact. That when you have power of attorney, you're the attorney in fact. So I'm just going to read you some of these. First off, up here it says, I constitute and appoint Gary W. Carpenter of Tulsa, Oklahoma, to be my attorney in fact for me in my name and in my place. Now keep in mind, Jesus, whatsoever you do in my name, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Notice, I am authorized to act. O.R. Carpenter says, I am authorized to act for me, in my name, and in my place. So here's some of them down here. He says, my attorney, in fact, shall have all the powers, discretions, elections, and authorities granted by statute, common law, and under any rule of court. In addition thereto, and not in limitation thereof, my attorney, in fact, shall also have the power set forth below. My attorney, in fact, may collect and receive, with or without the institution of suit or other legal processes, all debts, monies, gifts, objects, interest, dividends, annuities, and demands that are now due or may be hereafter become due, owing or otherwise payable or belonging to me. My attorney, in fact, may use and take all lawful actions in my name or otherwise to recover the same and to compromise the same. My attorney, in fact, may sell, convey, lease, exchange, mortgage, pledge, release, hypothecate, whatever that is, and otherwise deal with, dispose of, exchange, or encumber any of my property, either real or personal. Here's another one. My attorney, in fact, may appear on my behalf in any litigation in which I am or may become a party during the duration of this durable power of attorney. My attorney, in fact, may give discharges, releases, consents, and receipts on my behalf. My attorney, in fact, shall have the power to deposit funds in my name in any banking or savings institution or in any money market account. My attorney, in fact, shall have the power to pay any and all bills, accounts, claims, and demands. I could go on. That's long. My attorney, in fact, may endorse all checks drawn to me in order for my deposit in any account which I have funds on deposit and any new account opened in my name. Can you see this? My attorney, in fact, shall have the power to hold, invest, reinvest, and otherwise deal with and manage property in which I have any interest. This goes on for 6 pages. I mean, now this one in particular, I want to read to you. That many goes on and on and on. I mean, it's detailed. And it's very comprehensive. But I really like this one right near the end. It says, my attorney, in fact, may act in all matters with respect to all powers described herein as freely, fully, and effectively as I could or might do personally if present. I got to read that one again now. My attorney, in fact, may act in all matters with respect to all powers described herein as freely, fully, and effectively as I could or might do personally if present. In other words, when I come, if I sit down at a business transaction of any kind, when I sign in the name of O.R. Carpenter, and it carries the same power, the same authority, as if he was sitting there signing that document himself. Now that's the power of attorney. Jesus said the works. Now look again in John 14. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Or let's say, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he repeats it, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I don't know if you make notes or write in the margin. What he just said right there is not prayer. He describes prayer over in chapter 16. Verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. This is prayer. This is prayer. And I'm going to show you an example here in a minute. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and I go to the Father. Well, what's the difference? In one place, he says, if you ask, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And then he says, no, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. It's obviously two different things here. Well, let's look at the second one first. If you want to find real prayers to the Father, I hope you kept your place in Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians 1 just for a moment. Here's an example of prayer. Asking the Father something in the name of Jesus. Ephesians 1, again, starting in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He's praying. He's asking the Father for something. I'm asking you, Father, the Father of glory, give unto these Ephesians and the Tulsans the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You see how he's asking the Father for something? Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father for in my name, he will give it you. There's another one over here. Okay, go over to chapter 3. Look at verse 14. I want you to see examples of Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Well, verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Here we go. Now, so it's definitely he's praying to the Father here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. See, we've been telling you, Christianity is not a religion, it's a family. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And we could go on. Those are two examples. Another one you might think of is James chapter 1. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There he's referring to God the Father. If you ask, he'll give it to you. But you better ask in faith. What does that mean? Believe he's going to answer you and don't waver. It means more than that, because I can tell you from hard experience, when you hear his wisdom, it probably won't make sense to your natural mind. You'll join mine and Jimmy Miller's Bible school. It says, God, you said what? And that's when you have the opportunity to waver. You know, in the early days, God, Sue and I needed, you know, money was staying away in great abundance. And I would ask the Father for wisdom, and he would say things like, give everything away free. And I go, God, did you hear my prayer? Give everything away free. Well, it would have been real easy to waver at that wisdom. So you don't waver. If you want to have his wisdom, you do what he says, and it'll work every time. You know, how do I get it? We're in a great storm. How do I get to the shore? Just step out and walk on the water. What? God, you said what? We got 5,000 people here. Feed them. You feed them. What? Yeah, you got these five loaves and so many, what is it, a few fishes. You feed them. What? Yeah, it's a good school. It just takes a little while to get used to the impossible. But what we think is impossible, he calls normal. You know? But those are examples of petition-type prayer. And Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 24 especially, when it says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. That is prayer to the Father. That is petitional type prayer. What's the other type? You know, the type you said is not prayer. Well, that's over in John 14. Go back over there for a minute. Here, Jesus says, in verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Notice how there's no mention of the Father right there. Well, what in the world here? It's something in the name, and it's connected with the works. I mean, let's leave it in context. He's talking about, I want you to, the same works you've been seeing me do, I'm leaving, and I expect you guys to do the same works that I've been doing. Now, what I'm telling you, I'm authorizing you in my name. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do that for you. Just like you saw me do it here, you're going to see it there. I'm authorizing you. Well, a good example of that is Acts chapter 3. Turn over there for a moment. You know this story very well, but this is a perfect example. Acts chapter 3. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. This guy wasn't asking to be healed, really. He was asking for money. He was asking alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes unto him with John, said, I'm getting excited because I see what's coming. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This guy was expecting to get money. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Such as I have give I thee. In the name, what? You see any prayer here? Oh, let's pray for a moment. Let's bow our knees unto the Father. Father, in thy great magnificence, I beseech thee, O righteous one, O thou, you know, make a 10-minute prayer that the guy stays crippled. This is not the time for that kind of prayer. This is time to act as power of attorney. How did Peter know he had the power of attorney? He's got the document. He's got where Jesus said, in my name, whatever you say, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. You can say, I've got the document. When I walk into a transaction and I said, I'm here in the name of O.R. Carpenter. How dare you walk in? How can you say that? I've got the document. It's not a matter of faith. I've got the document. It's a business transaction. I've been authorized in His name to come here and do O.R. Carpenter business. I've been authorized in the name of Jesus to come here and do kingdom business. Rise, get up on your feet and walk. The works that I do, you'll do also. Well, how do you, brother, do you have faith for that? I don't even really need faith. I've got the document. I've got John 14. I've been authorized.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, His name, using His name is going to become as natural as the keys in your... Everyone, do it again. It's good for you. Get your car key out of your pocket. Get your car key now. Get it out. I know you came a road with somebody. You don't have any keys? Well, she didn't. Okay. Here, borrow my keys, honey. I got some extra keys right here. I want you to do this now. All right? Keys. All right? Now look. Whose keys are those? Have you been given those keys? Such as you have, you're jingling them right now. Okay? Such as I have. You have these keys. Right? Do they fit your car? How many of you are going to pray over these keys before you go out tonight, you know? Oh, Father, I pray that these keys will work. I pray that... I hope I have enough faith to use this key, Lord. It's your keys. It's your car. Go use the key. We've been given the name of Jesus. The name which is above every name. It will work. Go use the key. And as the devil says, how dare you? How do you have the right? Pick up your Bible and shake John 14 and say, I've got the document. I've been authorized in His name. Isn't that something? Now listen. Keep the whole picture in mind. Remember that ugly sinner, Mike McKeever? Don't lose sight of that now. See, I don't care how ugly you see yourself. See, Jesus does not see you that way, and the Father does not see you that way. You are His highly trusted power of attorney. He has exalted you to the same place of authority positionally as Jesus. He has authorized you on earth to go forth in His name. Peter said, such as I have. Our problem is we don't know we have it. Now see, wouldn't it be funny if I said at a closing for a property for my parents. My dad can't physically sign his name anymore. That's one reason we had to get power of attorney. So I'm sitting there, and it's time. Time to start signing the papers. I signed my name that day 19 times. Okay, and for him. Okay? Now what if I'd have sat there and said, well, it's time to, my mother signs, and then it's my turn. I said, well, I don't know if I can sign that or not. I don't know, you know, yesterday I felt pretty good about my power of attorney. If we'd had the closing yesterday, I'm sure I could have done it, but I don't know, I'm just kind of down today. You know, I'm not sure that really I am the power of attorney. And they're going, your feelings has something to do with whether you're His power of attorney or not? Said, have you been authorized or have you not been authorized? Well, yeah, I have the document. It's on file. It's been witnessed and everything's legal. But I just don't know. I just don't feel like I have that kind of authority today. They'd be starting to look for a power of attorney for you now because you're losing your ever-loving mind, you know. I mean, they're going... You've either been authorized or you haven't been authorized. And to be honest with you, your feelings have got nothing to do with it. And I hate to tell you this part, your faith has got nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Except all you got to believe, did He say it in John 14 or did He not? Did Did Paul write it in Ephesians that you've been quickened together with Him, raised together with Him, and seated together with Him? Or is it not in your Bible? Do you have these documents or do you not have these documents? Your feelings and your faith have got nothing to do with it. Other than just believing what the Bible says. See, I've got the document. That's all the faith I need if you want to. I've got it. I know I've got it. How do you know you've got it? I've got it. Well, you've got it in John 14. Whatever you ask in My name, in My name. What if we said in My place? What if we said as My agent? What if we said as My power of attorney? I. Now, power of attorney is based on the power of it, is based on who's behind it. See, I could go write a check in the name of O.R. Carpenter for $50 million. It isn't going to work. There's not enough power behind my dad's, sad to say, behind my dad's name to make that happen. But how much power in every way, finances, health, salvation, everything you could imagine, how much are the resources of heaven behind the name? And you've been given power of attorney. It's a legal transaction. It's not a faith transaction, really. It's a legal transaction. It just makes it into a business proposition. My dad trusted me. And he says, go in My name. Now see, the difference is my dad right now is not... He trusts me to act on his behalf and he's not making the decisions. Okay? Well, I got news for you. Jesus is alive and well. He is the head of the church. The Holy Spirit is His agent of power, and He's also the agent that brings us His mind. I wish there was a church where you could go and be trained how to hear the present hour speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, He's in heaven and I'm on the earth. Oh, that there would be a go-between, someone who could bridge the gap between heaven and earth and bring me the very mind of Christ, because then I could go forth in His name, knowing I was right in the center of His will. Oh, we go to that church. Yeah. And she's glad she goes to this church. The Holy Spirit is the very one. You're praying those mysteries, praying the very mind of Christ. I keep telling people all the time, they're so worried about missing their calling. I say, you're worried about the wrong thing. The only thing to worry about is falling out of prayer. Because if you'll continue to pray and do the whole message, not just prayer, but if you'll continue to do that, really, the responsibility for that shifts from you to the Holy Ghost. Because if you do your part, honey, He's real good at His part. So I don't know if I'm called to this or called to that. I'll remind you what Dave has taught us for years. Ministry is like a tree. It's not a little fleeting thing. It's not... Well, I think I'm a pastor. I think I'm a teacher. There's a lot of matter that think they're prophets. But if you continue to pray, that ministry will grow in you like a tree. Honey, you won't be able to... You wouldn't be able to... You couldn't misunderstand your calling on purpose. You will know your calling. Because the Holy Ghost is better at what He does than what you do. And the responsibility really shifts to Him. All you have to do is continue to stay in prayer. And the first impasse, as Davis said over and over again, the first impasse to get through is falling out of prayer. Hallelujah. Go to Philippians again. He is going to let me come back to that for a minute. Y'all getting anything out of this? Power of attorney. So when I act for my Father now, it's not a matter of faith, it's not a matter of feelings, it's not a matter of, gee, I wonder if He trusts me today. It's a matter of I have the document. I have been authorized. And I can do business in the name of O.R. Carpenter. Well, you have the document spoken by Jesus Himself. And you and me, we have been authorized to go and do kingdom business in the name of Jesus Christ. Our only faith really is to believe what it says, but isn't that what faith is all the way through? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter believed it. See, if I'd have gone on and finished that chapter, after the man was healed, they started exalting Peter like he was something. He says, No. It's not me. It's that name through faith in his name. In other words, I believe what Jesus said. He said, whatever I ask in his name, he would do it. That Greek word ask, I've looked it up many times before. It can mean ask, like I would ask your address or I would ask permission. But it also can be used as a demand. That's what Peter did. He just said, rise, stand up on thy... How did he... Anyway, he says, rise. Gave a command in the name. It was more like a demand, wasn't it? But what he was doing there was operating as the power of attorney. And he did the same works as Jesus, as though Jesus himself were there. Now we've got to get to where we do that same thing. See, I can walk in anywhere, the bank, real estate, anywhere. And all I got to do is show them my document. And I can do business in the name of O.R. Carpenter. We have got to understand Jesus authorized us in the same way to use his power of attorney. Know here in Philippians 2, again, verses 8 and 9. Says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God, because of his obedience, even unto death of the cross, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now let's think about the cross for a minute. I like types and shadows from the Old Testament when they help me understand the truth. For every truth, anything that's real casts a shadow. So I always ask the Lord, now any truth that I teach, I want at least one witness from the Old Testament, because if it's real, there'll be a shadow back there somewhere. Well, see, here it's talking about Jesus' obedience to the cross. The cross is made out of wood. Type and shadow, you want to see it? The rod of Moses. The rod of Aaron. He says, they come up to the Red Sea, an impossible problem. Here's the Red Sea in front. Mountains on both sides, Pharaoh's coming up, the devil's coming up strong behind him to kill him. Have y'all ever felt like that? Can't go forward, can't go to the side. And here comes the devil. He's going to kill you dead and everything around you. You know, Moses starts to pray. The Lord stops him and says, what's that in your hand? That rod is a type and a shadow of the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, you stretch that rod out. And when he stretched it, it was like a type and a shadow of what's coming. See, because Jesus was obedient even to the death of the cross, God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. So even centuries before the event, when he stretched forth that rod, it represented the name and the authority of Jesus. And I mean, even the ocean had to obey that name, and it parted, and they went across on dry ground. Then there was another time when Joshua was fighting with Amalek. But they noticed whenever Moses was watching the whole battle from a hill, and whenever Moses would lift up the rod, Joshua and his men would prevail, but his arms would get tired. And when the rod would come down, the enemy would prevail. So two men, Aaron and Hur came, and one on each side, and they're helping Moses lift up the rod. If I be lifted up. What are they doing? If that rod is a type of the cross, it represents that obedience of Jesus all the way unto the death of the cross. So it also means how God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And boy, with that rod lifted up, type of the name, Joshua prevailed. The battle was won. Here's another one, not using the cross. You know, Goliath represents the devil. Come out to destroy you. You ever been intimidated by a big devil? This one says, I didn't come to hurt you. I come to kill you. You know, big devil. He's not making no bones about it. Come on, send out your best man. Here I am. I'm Goliath. You know. So here comes David, right? Little old boy, just a teenager at this point. Comes out and, you know, he doesn't have any battle armor. He's just a teenager. Actually, Goliath, the devil, was insulted. He says, "You're going to send out this child?" Do you know what David said? He says, "You come against me with rod and staff, but I come against you in the name, of the Lord of hosts. This day I will take your head from off your shoulders, and I will feed your carcass to the fowls of the air, that the enemy may know that there is a God in Israel." In the name. I don't care how big the Goliath is that has come out against you. Could be a job. Could be cancer. Could be divorce. Could be wayward children. Could be anything. Could be anything. Could be symptoms that won't leave. Could be anything. You come against me with the natural circumstances, but I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. And at that name, every knee has to bow. I don't care how big you are. I'm taking your head off your shoulders. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. Bow the knee. Did you ever notice that Goliath, after he was hit with that stone, he fell on his face, prostrate before David? Do you love it? Had to bow, didn't he? Had to bow, see? I hope you're getting something out of this. See, and it preaches real good, and hallelujah, it's great. And everybody call tomorrow, you know. And, well, wasn't that a good message? And everybody give me attaboys on the way out. Gary, that's a good one. That's a good one. I go, thank you, thank you, thank you. What I want to know is, see, when I got that power of attorney, it changed my life for my dad. When I got the power of attorney for my dad, it changed my life. Let me say it that way. And from this point on, I am a steward in a way I never was before. But see, I know that I have it. Be honest, there's temptation that comes with it. There's bank accounts there. You know, am I going to be a faithful son, a good steward? Yeah, I am, but I'm just saying. Well, you take the name of Jesus, you're going to be a faithful son. See, a lot of people use the name of Jesus to build their own kingdom. I kind of did that for years, to be honest with you, before I knew any better. I was just a kid. God didn't hold it against me and knew I started to say young and stupid. I guess I will. Young in the Lord, stupid. Pretty much selfish. You know, petitioning for Dodge Ram pickups. And he's not against that kind of thing, but that there's a mindset that develops with time. See, I don't think Jesus went around petitioning for better sandals and nicer robes. Lord, I saw somebody the other day, Father, I saw somebody who had nicer sandals than me. It's Jesus. I'm asking you for sandals nicer than his. You see that kind of, can you imagine in your wildest dreams that kind of thinking in the mind of Jesus? And I said, I must be about my Father's business. See, he was here in his Father's name. We are here in the Son's name to do the Father's business, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And now at this church, we really have no excuses. See, the good news is you're going to a good church. Bad news is, you are so accountable. I mean, what are we going to do on that day? Well, I would have walked in my calling, Lord, if I'd ever known what it was. Let's see now. I'm not looking at anyone. Let's see now. Did you go to the prayer center? Yes, I did. Did Pastor Dave eloquently teach you little baby steps that if you prayed, you'd be praying the mysteries? Even what your calling was in those prayers. And if all you had to do, you didn't even have to try and figure it out. All you had to do was pray. And you never did find your calling? Explain that to me. Ooh, yeah, I don't want to be there that day. No, we're very accountable. Yes, sir, I'm going to say it again. Years ago, maybe 10, 11, I think, he told me one time in prayer, because I was just so agonizing, where are the miracles? Where is the power? I mean, you guys ever pray like that? And one of the things he said to me, he said that day, he says, the day will come when you will look back on these days and you will laugh that you ever thought it was so hard. I believe our day on that is really coming quick. Now, a few more things I want to say about power of attorney. And I've only been this for just a little while, but I've already learned my feelings have got nothing to do with it. Now, get over yourself. You've been authorized to go in His name to do kingdom business. And I don't think it pleases Him when you say, well, I just don't feel like I have power today. It's His name. It's the Father's power by the Holy Ghost. And you have been authorized. And your feelings have got nothing to do with that. Well, I know Pastor Dave can operate in that. And I know Alan operates in that. But I just don't know if I have faith for that. Honey, all you need is the document. That's what I've learned about power of attorney. When I show up, they always want to see that document now. They said, now, do you have power of attorney? May I see it? In this last week, I've faxed it to probably 20 different institutions because of moving them down here. But boy, once they see it, I can sign in the name and it in the name of O.R. Carpenter, and it is done. You need to understand, we need to understand when we go and demand or say in the name of Jesus that what He said is actually what He meant. I am authorized. Didn't He just say, the works that I do? So He's talking about the works. There's no doubt about it. The works that I do, just like Peter at the Gate Beautiful. The difference with us is Peter knew what he had. We don't really know what we have. It's making more of an impression on me because I have the document now. See, I know what I have in the natural. I know what I have. And that's all that I need. They don't even ask me any questions about myself. They don't ask me, Gary, are you an honest person? How do you feel today? Are you married? They don't care. None of that, Mary. They don't ask nothing. All they need to see is the document. And if I have the document, I can do business in His name. Honey, sir, ma'am, young and olden, you have the document. It's John 14. He gave it to you. He gave it to every member of His body. In my name, cast out devils. In my name, lay hands on the sick and see them recover. In my name, go forth, make disciples of all nations. In my name, do this. In my name, do that. We have all of that in the written form already. And then you can read the book of Acts and see how He'll come at times in vision form and give you instructions like He did Ananias. He didn't appear to every believer. He appeared to Ananias. And He said, now I want you to go lay hands on this guy named Saul. And scales are going to fall from his eyes and he'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. How did Ananias get that assignment? Fellowship with the Lord. He got it by a vision and instruction. I said before, Jesus is alive and well. So when Ananias went, he went in the name. And he just did what the Master said, and guess what? It worked. If we pray and then obey what the Master says, we go forth and do it, guess what? It'll work. Starts with the written word, finishes with the Spirit, present tense, now word. I like the way Dave said it one time. He says a lot of people go, well, what I'm going to do then, I'm going to turn down all the invitations to go preach, and I'm just going to sit here until Jesus tells me to go. You've got it backwards. He already gave you the written word. The command is, go ye, not stay ye. The command is, go ye. That's what you do first. Go ye and teach. Go ye and preach. Unless you get a rhema word from Him. And I don't mean I feel led word either. I feel it. I don't want to hear about your... Did He tell you or didn't He tell you? Well, I don't know. Pray till you do know. This is not a guessing game. Your life is more valuable to Him than guessing. Pray till you know. But in the meantime, go ye. Witness to your neighbor. Witness to the one next to you at work. Go ye. Is there? You do that until you till you get a specific word on something else. Well, I'm just going to sit here until he tells me to go get a job. You've already got the written word that says, go get a job. Now, that's the written word. You do that unless he calls you full-time in the ministry. And even then, you better obey what he tells you. Do it the way he tells you. The written word, that's the first level of instruction. Go ye. Get a job ye. Love your wife ye. Submit to your husband ye. On and on we could go, you know. To stop fornicating ye. And that will continue to be in there too. Now there's other things that he's long suffering with. Romans 6 tells you in a nutshell, it just says, well, stop sinning. Well, I did on so many things, you know. I've told you about the alcohol and the pornography and all the rock music and all that stuff. But I in my mind, I believed a lie. The truth of it was, I could have quit smoking way back there. I could have quit smoking back when I got saved. But I was deceived. Boy, he was long suffering with me for years and years and years with that. And I never did start justifying it. I never did say it was okay. I never did say it's permitted. I knew it was wrong, but I just didn't know how to get free. Listen, he is long-suffering with you until you just keep doing the message. And you'll get to the place where one day you'll be free, and I don't care what it is. Amen. Now, if you're an axe murderer, we recommend you stop completely. We don't recommend cutting down to one murder a week or something like that, you know. There is some discipline in the flesh, in other words, okay? That one just works. That's such a good illustration. I like that one. But even that, though, you know you're still authorized? Did you know he did miracles through my hands when I was still smoking? Surely. Don't you know this is charismatic? Our roots are Pentecostal. And Dave's are holiness. You think his power would flow through tobacco-stained fingers? They did. Was it his best? No. But he did anyway. You mean he used you when you weren't perfect? Honey, he's using me now and I'm still not perfect. Long ways. I'm standing too close to my wife. I'm a long ways from being perfect. She knows the truth. He's using us anyway. You mean tobacco wasn't the last thing wrong? What else is wrong? Nunya? I'm not asking you about your stuff, am I? But now the point of it is, from the day that I was born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was authorized in His name to cast out devils. Even at that point, in His name. Now, here's the last point. I think it helps when you're not self-condemned all the time. See, I can tell a big difference these years. I mean, it helps me that I'm not smoking anymore. More than anything else. I got so tired of hearing that, devil. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good, you're a piece of... You're no good. And I'd have to... It takes faith to come out here and do anything. Preach, do... It's in the name, it's in the name, it's in the name. It's got nothing to do with me. And it is better. It's easier for me now not to be so self-condemned all the time. But it does not change the power of attorney. I'm power of attorney for O.R. Carpenter, whether I smoke, whether I don't smoke. And I've been given the name of Jesus, whether I smoke or whether I don't smoke. Not smoking is better. But I have the power in the name anyway. Okay. The point that he's really trying to make today is this. It's not a matter of faith. Except this. Do you believe what he said in John 14? That's the only faith. If you believe you have the documents, if you believe he gave you the document, if you believe he authorized you, that's all the faith really you need. Now you've got the name. That's what Peter had. Such as I have. Once you've got it, and you know you've got it, now it's just time to go forth and do business in the name of our King. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forever. Yes. From the least to the greatest, every member of my body has been authorized to use my name. Stop the questioning. Stop the wavering. And just believe what I said. My name is above every name. Believe what I said. Go forth. And make the enemy bow the knee everywhere you find him. I have authorized you. Now go in my name, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sue, would you come and dismiss these beautiful people?
Thank you, Father. All over this world, you're getting your people ready to so you can do your heart's desire, Father, in our midst. So you can bring into your kingdom the sons and daughters whom Satan has bound all these years and has deceived. Father, we're just so thankful for all that you're doing, and we thank you for speaking through Gary. We just thank you, Father, for what you're teaching us, how powerful the name of Jesus is. Father, we just thank you for safety for each family, for your presence and your power on their behalf. I thank you, Father, that each one stands in their place with you as the head of every home, Jesus, and in the place that you've appointed for a family to be. Father, thank you for keeping the children and the grandchildren safe. Thank you that you're working on behalf of all of our loved ones that we've placed in your hands. Father, trusting that you're bringing them into the kingdom with speed, and they're coming. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And for all the people that need jobs, and for the people that need to be healed, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you in his name now. So Father, I just thank you and bring us together again, and so we can receive more of your word and receive more of what you have for us, and be more and more like Jesus and think more and more like him all the time, so you can accomplish your will in our lives. Amen.